Living Faith with Father Richard Umbers.
Peter works with Andrew, his brother. They have a small fishing business. They're in league with James and John, sons of Zebedee. And Andrew, who goes to see John the Baptist, hears one day, as Jesus of Nazareth passes by, "Behold the Lamb of God. This is the Messiah. This is the one you have been waiting for." And Andrew and John have their interest piqued. They go and they follow you, Jesus. You turn around, Lord. Who do you look for? And not knowing what to say, they respond, "Master, where do you live? Come and see." And so they went and they spent the afternoon with you, Jesus. And we can spend time getting to know you. What will I discover? Come and see. So much of our life is learned through seeing and hearing and praying. Walking the way is how we discover so much about ourselves and about life. And that is especially true of our faith. When you see somebody in the chapel praying, many times you could be wondering, what is it that that person is saying? What makes that person tick? The other day, when I was in Canberra, as I went to the cathedral there to do my prayer, there was a one-eyed, balding hobo who was talking to the rose bushes. I walked past him, a bit like the priest in the parable of the Good Samaritan, who walks to the other side. I did my prayer and I came out. He was still there talking to the bush. And as I walked past, he looked at me and I smiled, and then he shot a hand out and dragged me to sit down. I spent the next hour discussing existentialist literature. But one of the first questions he asked me is, "Are you a Christian?" Well, yes. And then the follow-up, "What would I say to God? What would I say to God?" And I could think of many things that you could say to God. But there, a man who was well-educated, or at the very least had time to read many books, was alone with his bottle of scotch. And he had many things to say. But amongst them were that, well, he was not a believer. It's not that he didn't believe in God, but he couldn't handle seeing Christ on a cross. That was just not his thing. But what had replaced faith, and from his perspective, institutional religion had failed, but what took its place was something much worse. Where there's no faith, there's bad faith. At the end of a very long monologue, shall we call it, he asked me, "So what is it that makes you tick?" And I said, "Well, look, I pray. It's natural to me to pray." And he corrected me and said, "It's become natural for you to pray." And I said, "You're right, it's become natural for me to pray." And the same can be true for ourselves. It becomes natural for us to pray. But it becomes natural because we have to pray. We have to spend time with you, Jesus. Come and see. Andrew and John do that. And then, as a natural reaction of spending time with you, Lord, they tell those whom they care They share what they have discovered. John with James. Andrew with Simon, his brother. We have found the Messiah. We have found the one whom Scripture speaks of. And so they take Simon to meet with you, Lord, and you say something very interesting, Jesus. You are not Simon any longer. You are Peter. You change his name. And for the Jews, the name is representative of one's very identity. You give him his identity, Lord, his mission. And so to, when we are baptized, we are made into sons of God. That is our deepest identity. I am a son of God. Whatever else may happen in my life, whatever else I may happen to achieve or not achieve, at rock bottom, I am a son of God. Am I aware of my very identity? Does that sink into my being? Do I realize I am a son of God? Therein lies all my dignity, all my reasons for good pride. A son of God. That poor man who had neither faith in religion nor faith in the hospital system, had as his prop, as his crutch, a bottle of scotch. And for so many, when the difference between reality and appearances becomes most acute in moments of crisis, what do they see as reality? For many, it's alcohol. You got a problem, you have a glass of wine. Another problem, just have another glass of wine. Still got a problem? Well, have another glass of wine. How sad. What is their identity? How do they see themselves? Bag of chemicals on a lonely rock. It's a worldview. It's one perhaps that's not argued for. This is taken for granted. That's the air we breathe. But we have a different worldview. We are sons of God. We are called to eternal life with God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And that changes everything. But more particularly, in our own case, not only am I a son of God, but I have been chosen since before the beginning of the world, before creation in the mind of God, for a purpose. A mission. It cuts to the very identity of who I am. There's a movie which I've heard about. I saw a similar kind of movie once, but anyway, I think it had John Travolta, but I couldn't work it out. But it's a typical theme of an angel, a guardian angel who comes from heaven and has to look after, you know, someone in trouble on earth. Anyway, as things would, you know, one thing leads to another, etc., and the angel falls in love with the girl he's trying to help out. And so he goes to God and says, look, can you make me a man? I know I'm an angel, and I'll be forever in heaven and all the rest, but I really want to, you know, marry this girl. So God grants him his wish. You know, he becomes a man. And then the girl gets run over by a bus. Pretty sad. But there, you know, that angel has somehow diverted from what he was made for. You know, a good thing. I mean, it's very nice, romantic, but life's life. We don't know what will happen to us. Death is just around the corner. Literally, sometimes. The other day, I was talking to a young priest near Elizabeth Street as we were crossing the road to get a bite to eat. And I was near the curb, and I was talking about things, and all of a sudden there was this tremendous rush of wind next to my cheek. It was a bus. It was only centimetres away from me, you know, and I was thinking, oh my goodness, I had no idea that the buses were going so quickly and so close to the side. You know, a few centimetres extra and I would have been receiving the last rites. Just as well I had another priest next to me. He recited the formula for me of, you know, the last rites. Oh, good, good, at least, you know, I would have been, yeah, with the blood gurgling out of me, would have heard things, but still, you know, so close. And for each one of us, we really, really don't know what the future has in store for us. Could be 80 years. Could be 8. We don't know. But when we reach the end of our life, we'll need to ask ourselves, well, what was all that about? And of course, Lord, you'll be looking for yourself, whether we had become truly other Christs with our faith, with charity. Not that Christ had faith in the sense that we have faith. He knew. We trust. The book of Revelation speaks of receiving a white stone. Only the one to whom it is allocated knows what it is. And in our prayer, only we really, really know what our vocation is, what we are called to. That intimate dialogue we have, Lord, with you, in our heart of hearts, yes, other people are involved in discerning and in calling. But we know, ultimately, our whole Christian life is a personal response to you, Jesus. And in the case of Peter, he was to be the rock. And there are so many different reactions to you, Lord, as there are different ways of relating to you personally, to embrace you, to reject you, to put things off for a while. You chose Peter. You said to him, follow me. And he did, as did others. That merry band. But after a while, you put that question to them to help them realize just what it was that they were doing. Who do men say the Son of Man is? Some say John the Baptist, some say one of the prophets. But you, who do you say that I am? That's the question, Lord, that you put to us. Who do you say that I am? We know that there are many different opinions, then as now. Ah, Jesus was a good man. He taught us to love. Love, love, love. Whatever that might mean. Normally terms that are abused. Because love means sacrifice. Love means giving of oneself for the sake of the other. Love does not mean, well, so long as you entertain and pleasure me for now. Jesus, good man. Good man, nice guy, pity about his followers. Or I wish those followers would just keep it to themselves. Then as now, so many different reactions, so many different opinions. But what does Peter say? Lord, you are the Christ. You are the Son of the living God. You're the Messiah. You're the chosen one. The one foretold. The one whom we are following. Blessed are you, Simon, son of John. Because man has not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven. Peter confesses you, Jesus, and he does so giving a correct account of who you are. And it is a gift from God that he is able to do so. And he, for us, is that sure rock of support and our understanding of who you are, Lord. It matters. It matters very much. It's not enough for us to say, well, you know, Jesus, Jesus, you make me feel good. Because if I ask, well, who is this Jesus? What's so good about it? And so, well, I feel saved. He makes me feel like there's a reason. Well, that's, look, all of which is wonderful. But who is this Jesus? Is he God? Is he a demigod? Was he just a good man? I don't know. He's special. Okay, yeah, he's special. Very good. But that's Jesus Christ superstar. Am I saved? Can I be saved? Is there a heaven? Is he God? Do I really have to follow him in everything? Is he really the way to the Father? Except through him, I cannot come to heaven. We know that that does not mean that people of other religions are not saved. It means that if they have followed their conscience, they're trying to please God, that they are saved through Christ, even though they do not know it. If they really knew Jesus, they would want to become Christians. But too much of our faith can perhaps be centered on ourselves. So faith has content, and the content matters. Getting it right, because how we pray, the one with whom we spend our time, influences how we act, what we do. If God is indifferent to who we are, far away, beyond the universe, having, you know, created it and then sort of kicked it into touch, left it to its own devices, we would organize ourselves in a very different way, perhaps tearing each other apart, as we do anyway. And so many who call themselves Christian, really are deists. God has no practical role in their life. Just an insurance policy. Perhaps there's something at the end. The force. I remember talking to a little kid. I said, walking past, just joking, may the force be with you. Of course, to which the poor little kid said, and also with you. I suppose these days he could say, and with your spirit. But for many people, their understanding of God is not too different. Many of those who sign up to becoming Jedis in their religion are not too far off what many Catholics think. It's different when we take our faith seriously, when we follow you, Jesus. That's what our faith is about. Now, there is content. There are rules. The church is hierarchical. Lord, you choose Peter. You choose the apostles. Who listens to you, listens to me. What you bind on earth is bound in heaven. We have shepherds. We are sheep. Someone said, only sheep need a shepherd. Well, we're sheep. We need shepherds. It's the humility to realize that we don't have it all under control. If we thought we did, we would fall into that terrible trap of pride, of not recognizing the truth, of not recognizing that we ourselves are very, very caught up in our own social, cultural, historical time. We're not so smart that we can see beyond that. And yet, because of Peter, because of the magisterium of the church, because Jesus, ultimately, you, we are able to transcend that with divine help. All societies have blind spots. We have blind spots. But your faith, Lord, helps us to appreciate what it means to be a son of God. What it means for every human being to have a vocation to eternal life. What it means to live in a culture of life and not one of death. Which is what we see in the Western world. Based purely upon autonomy. A false autonomy. Because choices are not indifferent. What is faith? It's trust in someone I have come to know. On another occasion, Lord, you speak after having worked some miracles of multiplying the loaves and fishes in the synagogue at Capernaum. Unless you eat my body and drink my blood, you will not have life in you. And to the majority of the people following you, Lord, this is a hard saying. Who can listen to it? Jesus, it's all very well giving us nice stories, healing people. Look, that's fine. For that, we will make you king. But when you put to me all of this supernatural business that I cannot get my head around, at that point I say, I want to maintain my faith under the control of my reason, within the limits of my understanding, however small or great that may be. And those people walked no longer, Lord, in your company. And there were many. And the same is true today. But you turn to the apostles, those who have spent their time with you, Lord, and you say, and you, will you also go away? And Peter speaks up, Lord, to whom else would we go? We have come to realize you have the words of eternal life. Because he spent time in your company, Lord. He's come to know you. And the same is true for us as we pray, as we live the same life that you live, Lord. We grow in faith. We come to trust more. And then when you say things that we don't understand, and there are many things that we will not understand, we will say, I believe. Not because I understand, but because I trust. Because, Lord, you can neither deceive nor be deceived. I know that what you say does not go against reason, but I cannot prove it with reason, still less with science. And that doesn't mean it's not knowledge, it's in the broad sense of the term. It doesn't mean I cannot discuss whether something is one way or another. But it does mean having faith. How is my faith? Do I trust? Why would God not just reveal himself individually to each one of us? Because we need, as human beings, in our very nature, to be social, and in the most intimate aspects of our life, to trust. Can we be let down? Yes. That's the risk. We are called to take risks. And when it comes to something so important as the direction of my entire life, I've got to take risks. And it determines the orientation of my entire life, who I am, in my choices. That's what it means to have faith. That's what it means to believe. That's what it means to follow Jesus Christ. Our Lady gives us a wonderful example of that. From the very beginnings, behold, I am the handmaiden of the Lord. Be it done unto me according to thy word. And she kept that word, following her son, even to the foot of the cross, and even afterwards, holding the apostles together. Believing. She's a great woman of faith with a simple life. And we turn to her, we cling to her. To help us always be at the ready for Jesus.
That was Living Faith with Father Richard Umbers. For more, go to cradio.org.au.